I want you to think about a regret that you have. It doesn't have to be a huge regret, but I just want you to think about a regret. Maybe it's from your childhood, maybe it's from earlier this morning or somewhere in between. It could be a purchase that you made. It could be a phone call that you returned. It could be an event that you attended. It could be a relationship you got in or got out of. We all have them. I want you just to hold that for a moment, because what we're going to talk about today is we think that there is a question that you can ask that can help you to avoid some of those regrets. It can't remove all of the regrets from your life, but I promise you, because of personal experience, if you will start to implement this question at every invitation, at every opportunity that you have, you will have less regrets. You'll have to go back and apologize less. You'll have to go back and say, I'm sorry, an awful lot less. You'll have some memories that say, man, I'm glad I didn't go in that direction because now I see so clearly. And we're going to talk about that today because that's what the Apostle Paul is going to show us. But last week we started in chapter 5, and here's what we said, that everybody, and this isn't a Christian thing, this is just a thing, everybody is walking in a direction. Your life is moving in a direction, and the direction that you're moving has a predetermined destination. That good intentions won't get your life where you want your life to go. That direction, not intention, determines destination. And so we asked ourselves, what direction am I headed into, and what is that destination? If I kept going the way that I'm currently going, where is that going to end up? And we said last week that not every path leads to life. Not every path is going to get you where you want to go. And so the question is, and this is what we talked about last week, am I walking? Because all of us are. Day in and day out, you're making decisions. Some of them are big and some of them are small, but every decision is moving you further and further along the path. So the question that would be better for you to ask is, am I walking in the right way? Because the Apostle Paul, he's given us these examples of, if you want to walk on a path that leads to life, there are certain directions that you should move in. And so we said last week, if you were to evaluate your life, if you were to look at your financial life and your relational life and your spiritual life, all the different areas of your life, we ask you to wrestle with this question. If you keep walking the way that you're currently walking, where is your good life going to end up? If you keep spending money the way that you're currently spending money, or saving money in the way that you're currently saving money, where does that end you up at? Because that has a destination. Every single time I make a decision, that's moving me further towards it. And so the question is where I'm headed the way that I want to go. When you think about your marriage, for those of you that are married, the way that you interact and the time that you spend together and the way that you speak to each other and the way that you deal with when you disagree, is the way that you're currently moving going to get you where you want your marriage to end up? Because here's what I know about you. You have a vision for your life. You have a way that you want your life to end. But just having an idea will not get you there. Having a vision of it is not going to do it. It's every decision after every decision after every decision, because decisions, not intentions, determine destination. And so last week we looked at the Apostle Paul saying that we should walk in love because God has loved us. We anchor ourselves that we are loved by God, not because of who I am or what I've done, but because of who God is. We are loved, and so then I'm invited to walk in that love to people that are around me. And then he said, I want you to walk in light, that for Christians, for people that are following Jesus, there is a light that we follow. There's some things that we do. There's some things that we don't do, and it's not to earn God's approval, it's not to earn God's love. It's because I am loved, and because I am loved, that changes the way that I live. And the Apostle Paul today is going to say, I want you to start to walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. And we're going to spend our whole morning talking about that idea. Because here's what about 10 years ago, this is not an original thought, but about 10 years ago, I learned this question that I'm going to teach you today. And I'm telling you this honestly. And I know it sounds like just a preacher talk. I get that. But I'm just telling you, it's just true. It has revolutionized my life. It has changed the way that I live. If I can be willing to pause in the heat of the moment and think about this question and to tell myself the truth about this question, it changes so often the directions. And in the last 10 years, when I look at different regrets that I have, most of the time it's because I didn't ask this question. And so I want you to start to put this into your life. I love that today here at the end of the service, you picked a perfect week to be here. At the end of the service, we're going to have our graduate blessing. We're going to pray over those that are graduating high school. I love that in God's providence, he brought us to this passage today, because for you that are seniors getting ready to move into this next chapter of your life, this is the question that can anchor you. This is the question that can make sure that you end up somewhere you want to be. And so verse number 15, this is what he says. I want you to be, this is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. I want you to be careful how you live. In other words, live, that word live is walk. I want you to be careful how you walk. Imagine that you're walking through a pasture, and you know that in that pasture there's been cows, and so there's manure, and there's holes, and there might be some snakes, and there might be some things that you could hurt yourself on. What do you do in that pasture? You don't just take off sprinting through it. You're careful, because you know that there are some things that can mess you up in that. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. As you go through your life, and as you go through your relationships, as you go through your money, whatever aspect of your life you're thinking about, as you go through that, I want you to don't be careless. I want you to be careful. I don't want you to just run through your life, just whatever feels good in the moment, because while sometimes that'll work, a lot of times, just like running through a pasture, that can trip you up. And the Apostle Paul is going to invite us to pause for a moment. I want you to be careful how you live, because nobody, all of us, we're all in the same boat. Nobody drifts into wisdom. Nobody accidentally arrives at a place of wisdom. You have to carefully get there. If you just sprint through your life, and if you just sprint through whatever you think feels right in the moment, that will not end you in a place of wisdom. You'll look back and you'll say, man, that season of my life, I wish I would have done some things differently, because I couldn't see it then. But what I see now is I wasn't very careful, because I can't drift into regret. Here's what you can drift in, and here's what all of us, at least me, has drifted into. I've drifted for sure into regret. I've definitely drifted into compromise. I've just picked up my feet and let the current of culture take me wherever it wants to take me. I've drifted into some wasted seasons of my life. I've drifted into, for some of us, we've drifted into some wasted years. I didn't mean to get where I was, but now here I am, and I look up and I say, man, I wish I would have done something differently. What happened? We weren't careful. We were instead careless. Wisdom has to be chosen. You're not going to accidentally choose it, but you can choose on purpose. So be careful how you live. He goes on, he says, don't live. He's gonna give us some opposites here. Don't live like fools. In other words, that he's saying that if you live, and if I live carelessly, that's foolish. And all of us could come up and we could tell the stories of times and seasons of our life where we have lived foolishly and we have some regret because of it. Careless is unwise. That careful, though, he says, that's the wise way to live. That choosing step by step, where is this path taking me? If every direction has a predetermined destination, where is this decision that I'm making right now, where is that taking me towards? And more importantly, is that where I want to end up? If I say this right now, is that where I'm going to, how's that going to end me up? If I choose in my morality and in my ethics, if I move in this direction, where does that end me up? Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. In other words, live with your eyes wide open. Look around and recognize the decisions that I'm making today are more than just this isolated moment of my life. They have a ripple effect. It's a domino effect. It's just a little decision right now. It's just a little bit of a compromise. Maybe in the scheme of things, it doesn't seem like a big deal, but I want to be wise. Every destination, well, I get there on purpose. So be careful how you live. Then he goes on in verse number 16. He says this, make the most of every opportunity. In other words, he's saying, I want you to redeem the time. that you have, just like I have, a certain amount of time. I don't know how much time I have. I don't know how much time you have. I hope it's a long time. But we have to be willing to say, this time is not always going to be here. And if you narrow it, the time is, I'm a parent, and I have three young kids. I've got a high schooler, a middle schooler, and an elementary school. And so for me, it's not just my life as time. It's also recognizing I have to make wise choices because this time, this season of life isn't going to last forever. It won't be long until my freshman is up here on stage having his graduation blessing. And so I've got to make the most of time. It won't be long until my youngest, he's now in second grade. It won't be long until he's walking across the stage at graduation. And if I just assume that I'm always going to have the time that I have, that's not wise. That's living foolishly. He says, hey, I want you to make the most of every opportunity. When you think about your week this week, did you make the most of every opportunity? Because there were some opportunities that were presented to you. There were some directions that you moved in. And we tend to waste the times that we think we'll always have. And so it's easy for me just to assume, well, my kids are always going to be young. Well, I'm always going to have my health. Well, I'll always have this job. I'll always have this opportunity. And when we think we will always have it, we tend to waste it. But here's what you know, that none of us are promised later. None of us are promised tomorrow. And so wisdom says, make the most of today. Make the most of every opportunity. Because again, he says, the days are evil. In other words, that if you just pick up your feet and let the current of culture take you whatever direction the current of culture wants to take you, we will not end up in a place of wisdom. We'll end up in a place of compromise. We'll end up in a place of regret. We'll end up in a place of, I wish I would have done it differently. And some of you can meet and talk to some people. Maybe some of you grew up in a house that your parents said, man, I wish I would have. Oh, I wish I would have made a different choice. I wish I would have finished school. I wish I would have taken that job. I wish I wouldn't have rushed into that relationship. I wish I wouldn't have gotten into so much debt. I wish I would have prioritized my spiritual life. I wish I would have prioritized time with my kids when they were young, because now they're grown and they live across the country and we never see them and it's tense. And I wish, make the most, he says, of every opportunity, because these days are evil. Verse number 17, he says, don't act thoughtlessly. That's the key word. Because for many of us, and I'm guilty of this, we just react. We just, whatever that day kind of, I didn't expect it, and so I react to it. I have this desire, and so I react to that desire. I have that, I think that would be nice, and I think that would be fun, and so I just react to that. And I react, and then I find myself in a place of, wow, I didn't want to be here. This isn't what I wanted to do with my life. And where did it start? Well, I was just thoughtless. I didn't put thought into where does this decision end up? Where will this decision take me? Because every direction has a predetermined destination. And then it's not my intentions. Intentions will not get me where I wanted to go. It's decision. Don't act thoughtlessly. But for Christians, understand, hey, in your life, what does God want from you? Where does God want you to spend your time? And where does God want you to spend your energy? And where does God want you to spend your ability? And where the gifts that God has given you, where does he want you to spend those? The money that God has put in your hands, how does he want you to deal with that money? The kids that you have that God has gifted you, how do you deal with that? The marriage that you have, whether it's great or whether it's a little rocky, how does he want you to deal with that? Don't act thoughtlessly. Don't just react. Don't just whatever feels right in the moment, just whatever my emotions tell me. Instead, understand what the Lord wants you to do. Because, and you don't need me to tell you this, this is just what you already know, but let me just put it in words that maybe you've never said it in this way before, that wisdom is not what you know. Wisdom isn't what you know. Wisdom is what you do with what you know. There's a big, big difference. That all of us know primarily the right things to do. We just don't do it. And sometimes we assume that just knowing something or being inspired by something makes a difference, but it doesn't. All of us. Well, maybe not all of us, but certainly many of us, right? Let me just use this example that all of us or many of us have certainly done. We bought a exercise equipment, or we bought a membership to a gym, and there was something in us, right? There was something in us that felt healthier in that moment. That we got the treadmill, or we got the elliptical, or we started to pay that monthly dues to the gym, and there was something in me that felt, oh, I'm healthier. But here's what you know. You were not at all healthier by simply having it. It did not help you to know that you should exercise. What helped you is when you got up on that treadmill, when you keyed yourself into the gym. That's when you moved from knowledge to wisdom. There's a big difference. And many of us, and you've said it this way, I really should. That's the word you use. That's the words I use. I really should. I really should be saving. I really should kind of start to pay down some debt. Oh, I really should. It's not knowledge, it's wisdom. Maybe this week some of you said, I should quit drinking. I know that I really should. Some of you had some great ideas at New Year's. Said, I really should, this year I should make some changes. How are we doing? Because there's a gap. There's a gap between knowledge, I should, and wisdom, I'm going to. And the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, tell yourself the truth. Tell yourself the truth. Simply knowing things doesn't impact you in the slightest. Nobody has gotten healthier by using their treadmill as a clothes rack. Come on, somebody, just tell ourselves the truth. There has not been 1 ounce of help that treadmill has done as it's hung up your clothes. You know that you should. Wisdom says, I'm going to do something with what I know. Jesus said something very, very similar. Jesus, in his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, he said something. You've heard the story, but I don't know, have you ever seen kind of the details? Jesus says this, therefore, everyone, so we're all included, everyone who hears, so you're here this morning, you're watching online, and you have got the first half of that. You are hearing the words of God. So you're there. And here's our word, puts them into practice. You see the difference? Hears, puts them into practice. What happens is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who comes to church and never misses a Sunday, has a daily Bible reading plan, listens exclusively to praise and worship music, listens to preaching podcasts, who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. You see, hearing doesn't help you. Just having the information is of zero value to us whatsoever. Who hears but doesn't do anything with them. I bought the treadmill, but now it's just gathering dust. That's what he's saying. Is like a foolish man. He built a house as well, but he built it on sand. And the rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. And what happened? Well, it fell. Two different people, they heard the same thing, they encountered the same storm, two different results. What was the difference? One did something with it and one didn't. And so you have to be, just like I have to be, willing to tell ourselves the truth and ask, am I wise or am I foolish? Because all of us are building a house. All of us are making plans. All of us are moving in a direction. And it's not simply knowing things. It's what do I do with what I know? That's why the Apostle Paul said, don't be foolish, but understand. Hey, what does the Lord want you to do? I want you to tell yourself, Paul's saying, I want you to tell yourself the truth. No, hey, no more games, no more excuses. For Christians especially, isn't it true for Christians? You know what to do, right? You don't really need, honestly, I'm so glad that you're here, but you don't really need me to tell you what to do, you know. You don't need me to come say yes, no, yes, no. That's the role of the Spirit. And the Spirit shows you, and your own conscience shows you, I shouldn't. And some of us say, I know I should, but we just don't. And the Apostle Paul is saying, Jesus is saying, that has a destination. That has an end result. And so start to live carefully. Start to make choices on purpose. Don't live thoughtlessly. Don't live just assuming I'm always going to have this amount of time. I'm always going to have this energy. I'm always going to have. I want you to redeem the time. And so here's the question. Here's the question that I'm just telling you, it will change your life if you'll let it. The litmus test for every decision, for every opportunity, and for every kind of, hey, do you want to try this or is this a good idea? It is not, is it the right thing to do? Because there's some things that are, you know, technically could be right that aren't wise. The question is not, what is everybody else doing? The question is not, is it legal or is it illegal? That's not the question. Those questions don't let you arrive at wisdom, because there are some things that are legal that aren't wise. The question that will take your life to the right place is this: what is the wise thing to do? What is the wise thing to do? Because for many of us, and myself included, when we look, remember that regret that you thought of at the beginning of the service? If you would have paused for just a minute, and if you would have asked yourself that question, do you think you would have done something different? Do you think you would have moved in a different direction? Because for many of us don't flip a switch and find ourselves in a bad place all at once. Right? That's hardly ever happens. But most of us, it's unwise decision after unwise decision after unwise decision, little, big fat mess. Right? It's nobody goes from doing all the right things to living a life of chaos overnight. That doesn't happen. What does happen is I don't redeem the time. What does happen is I live foolishly. What does happen is I know I just don't do. And so I live unwise, probably not a big deal. Oh, it's just one time. Oh, I'll always have this time. Big fat mess. And so let me tease it out for you just a little bit. Again, this isn't original. I got this from a different pastor years ago, and it's changed my life, and I want it for you. In light of, here's the three questions that you should ask. In light of my past experience, what's the wise thing to do? Because your past is your past. My past is my past. And so think about last time. And in light of that, what's the wise thing to do? In other words, let me say it this way. What happened last time you returned that phone call? What happened last time you went with them? What happened last time you were angry and you came home and said something? In light of your past experience, do you know why history keeps repeating itself for so many people? Because they don't pause to ask, in light of my past experience, what's the wise thing to do? And so you see people, how do they keep getting into bad relationship after bad relationship after bad relationship? Wow. They don't ask this question. They just live by this feels so good in the moment. What happened last time you were so inspired to buy that thing, and now you don't even know where it is, or it broke, or you don't care about it? Well, I'm having that same feeling of, I really want that thing. Well, in light of my past experience, what's the wise thing to do? But don't stop there. In light of my current circumstances, what's the wise thing to do? Because you're at a different season of life than I am. And your season of life is different than my season of life. And so what's wise in your current season might not be wise in my current season. So for me, my current season of life is that I have three children, elementary, middle school, and high school. And so in light of my current circumstances, there are some things that are wise for me to not do. Some of you, your kids are out of the house. And so yours is different. What is wise for you is not wise for me. What is the absolute best thing for you to do because of your current circumstances is the worst thing for me to do because of my current circumstances. It's not right. It's not wrong. It's not a sin versus righteousness question. It's just, what is the wise thing to do. In light of the fact that you just had a baby, what's the wise thing to do? In light of the fact that you guys that are getting ready to graduate, in light of the fact that you're getting ready to start this new season of life, what's the wise thing to do? Not forever. Not this is always, it's not this is the way that it's always got to be, but in light of just these current circumstances, in light of the fact that you are drowning in debt right now, what's the wise thing to do? I'm not talking about forever. I'm just talking about today. What's the wise thing to do? In light of the fact you just got married, okay? That is different than me. I've been married now for 18 years. And so what's wise for Brandy and I at 18 years into our marriage, it might be different than what's wise for you 18 weeks into your marriage. You see the difference. What's the wise thing to do? And then here's what is maybe the most important. In light of my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do? In light of my past experience, what's the wise? In light of my current circumstances, in light of my future hopes and dreams, in light of what story do you want to tell someday? Because here's what I know about you. You have a vision for your life. You have a vision for your marriage. You have a vision for your finances. You have a vision for your morality. You have a vision for your kids. You have a vision for your education. You have an idea of where you want your life to be. So in light of that, what's the wise thing to do? Personal vision often is the catalyst for wise decisions. And so, do you want your marriage to end up in a really healthy, really wonderful place? Is that a vision for your life? Well, that determines what you do today. Do you want to be able to retire with a little bit of money and you don't have to be stressed about it all the time? Sure, you do, okay? That impacts what you do today. Because how many of us have betrayed our own futures with the decisions that we make in the moment? How many of us have wrecked parts of our future because of a decision I made today? Don't, especially you young people, you guys that are getting ready to graduate high school, I'm just telling you, you've got such a wonderful future ahead of you. Don't trade your future for something or someone who won't be there in the future. Don't trade it. It's not, I'm just telling you, it's not worth it. Don't trade your future for something or someone who in the future you won't even remember, that you won't even have. Don't let yourself get so far into debt with something that in the future won't give you any value whatsoever. That's not wise. I know it feels so good right now, but it's always a bad idea to trade your future for a fleeting thing. And so how am I going to feel about that choice in the future? Is this a choice that I'll be proud to tell my kids about? Is this a choice that I'll want other people to follow in my footsteps? Making decisions, I'm just telling you, it's changed my life and I want it for you. Making decisions today based on where you want to be in the future, it's always wise. It's always wise. And it might mean that today you get left out. And it might mean that today you say no, and it might be strange and it might feel wrong, but your future you gives you a thumbs up. Your future you says, yes, I'm so glad you didn't trade your future for something now. And so here it is all together. This is the question that has changed my life. This is the question that has kept me from regret. This is the question that has, because I'm so impulsive. I mean, my impulsivity is so, it is off the charts. And so I have some regret in my life. And my regret is almost always, not exclusively, but my regret is almost exclusively tied to my impulsivity. Oh, it just seems so fun and it seems so right and it's so shiny and it's so wonderful and it's so new and it just would be great. In light of my past experience, current circumstances, future hopes and dreams, hey, Kyle, what's the wise thing to do? Oh, I probably shouldn't buy that. Oh, I probably don't need to move in that direction. I asked myself this question about 7 years ago, and I stopped drinking alcohol, full stop, because it was the wise thing to do. It's not a sin question. I wasn't getting drunk. I wasn't going
over, to a crazy part. It was wise in light of my past experience and in light of my current circumstances and in light of my future hopes and dreams. The wise thing for me is, Kyle, that's not doing you any favors. In fact, we're going to look at it next week. The Apostle Paul said, you go one verse down, it says, hey, don't get drunk on wine because it will ruin your life. That's what he said. And so in light of my past experience, my current circumstances, my future hopes and dreams, I stopped. Some of you this morning, you have to make a change because you know, you are headed in an unwise direction. Quit returning that phone call. Quit texting that gal kind of underneath the cover of night. It's not wise. It's not wise. Do you want to end up in a good place with your wife? You better make some changes. Because future vision, it's the catalyst for what do I do now. Here's what's true for all of us. I say this at weddings all the time. Nobody plans to mess up their life. Nobody. People just don't plan not to. Nope, nobody. Nobody had a vision for their life and says, man, I cannot wait to wreck this marriage. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. Nobody does that. Nope, nobody says, I cannot wait to totally mess up my kids' lives. Nobody does that. Nobody plans on, hey, I want to just work my way to where I don't have any relationship with my kids. Nobody plans that. They just don't plan not to. In light of my past experience, in light of my current circumstances, and in light of my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do? That's how you plan not to wreck your life. You know what's so interesting about Jesus' story in Matthew chapter 7? Jesus' story in Matthew chapter 7 does not keep people from difficult times. Difficult times came for both. Both people heard, both people experienced a storm, both people experienced chaos. The difference was, how did they end up in it? This question does not keep your life from chaos. This life does not keep you from problems and from trouble and from, boy, I wish it would have went differently. This question keeps you from getting wrecked by it. This question keeps you from being totally overwhelmed by it. This question doesn't keep you from every bad thing in your life. It just makes sure that your life is built on the rock. For some of us that are Christians, hey, what is the Lord's will for your life? Isn't it true? Isn't it true that you already know? But for some of us, we're just not doing. Let's be wise. Let's be wise. Let me pray for you. And then we're going to have our graduates come up. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word and for some of us for your conviction. Lord, for some of us, we need to today make some changes. There's some things we need to cancel, some things we need to sell, some apologies we need to make. There's some things that we need to move in a different direction because we're acting foolishly. We're running through life just impulsively and thoughtlessly. And so, Lord, I'm praying this morning that we would have the courage to do what we need to do, that we would live as people who are wise, that we would open our eyes and not just let the current of culture or the current of what I feel in the moment or the current of what everybody else seems to be doing take us and take us wherever it wants to go. Help us to get our feet down and say, what's the wise thing to do? Lord, for many of us, we know exactly what that is. We've even said, I really should. And so, Lord, I'm praying that we would take that next step and that we would do what we need to do. Lord, for those that are hearing the prompting and the pulling of your spirit to move us in a different direction, to get us started on something, to get us to stop doing something. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't just shove that aside, that we wouldn't push that down, but instead we would be willing to be not just hearers of the word, but that we would be doers. We want to build our life on Jesus Christ, who is our rock, who is the one that can sustain us through it all. And so help us not to just be hearers, but to be doers of your word. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.